being the believing is all about everything being done for and through and by our faith. You know, it's again, it's not doing good on Sundays or Wednesdays. It's being good at work. It's being good when your boss a Friday afternoon gives you a crap load of paperwork. Can I say that word?
You said it.
I did. And, you know, it's how you handle that. It's your actions. It's your reactions. It's wherever you are, whatever you're doing it for Christ. And so it's about, you know, breaking out of that compartmentalization and not just doing church, being the believing. And secondly, I think it's important for people to realize that being the believing is about wherever you are. And I know that sort of piggybacks with the compartmentalization. But, you know, for me, I think Christianity has become so quiet and silent. We've allowed, you know, the godless minority represented by organizations like the Freedom From Religion, because they're louder, because they have more money and higher attorney power, we've allowed that to quiet us, to stifle us. And one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We have misunderstood what meekness is, and we as Christians have become complacent and quiet because we've been scared and silenced by the overwhelming minority just because they're loud. And being the believing is, you know, I've got a voice, you know, and I am in the majority Christianity in America. And this country was founded as one nation under God. And so I think, you know, even with something like a school board election, I think we are starting to see that, you know, if you speak out about your faith and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, you're going to see that you're not alone. There are others, and it will empower others. And I don't think we should be ashamed anymore. I think we should start living out Christianity and not being a doormat to all those, but standing up for what we believe and speaking out and using our voice and living. There it is, being the believing. The Beatitudes are the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Jesus came and set himself up at a mountain. All the disciples came, the crowds came, and he started off the Sermon on the Mount, which was the greatest sermon ever preached. And he gave eight Beatitudes, which are just basically, they all start with blessed. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit is the first one, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so he gives us eight of these, you know, very short, succinct statements that really have the power to change our lives. And it's divided into two. The first four deal with our relationship with God. The last four deal with our relationship with each other. And I think those last four is where most of average American Christianity loses and misses the mark on. They like the get from God stuff, but they don't really give out to anybody else.
Tom, what was your motivation for writing the book?
Gene, honestly, I've become very upset with American Christianity and that culture. I think we become complacent. I mean, we see that as a nation. You know, we're lazy, we're self-absorbed, we're self-entitled. As a nation, collectively, that's where we are. In fact, my next book is going to be called Fat Pastor. And so I think the church has allowed that mindset to filter in and infiltrate the church, and we've become lazy and complacent, and everything's about in the building, you know, come to church. And we've replaced the Great Commission, go, with come. You know, we buy a piece of property, we set up a building, we throw up an open sign, we hire a pastor, and, you know, come to us. And I think that completely misses the mark. We're supposed to be out in the community and in the world. I think one of the most tragic things a church can do is buy a building. And, you know, we've done that, but we see the negatives to that. You just have to be very careful. So when I looked and evaluated American Christian culture, even me as a pastor and us as a church, you know, I think the Beatitudes really get us back out of the walls of a building into the community where we belong, being the believing.
We're talking with Pastor Tom McCracken. His new book is Being the Believing, Living Out the Beatitudes. One of the things you write about in the book is the idea of doing good versus being good. Talk about that.
That is the absolute key to the Beatitudes for me, and it changed my life. You know, for years, you know, I didn't become religious. I didn't come to God until I was 21 years old, and I did everything. I mean, drugs, alcohol, everything you can imagine. And I had people around me since I was a child, you know, shouting, "Do good, Tom." Counselors, police, bosses, parents, grandparents, you name it. And they were all, you know, having this collective thought, you know, do good. And I tried. I tried my best to meet those expectations. And I failed and came short for years. But the Beatitudes reveal that there is a difference between doing good and being good. And the Beatitudes reveal that when you come to God, he gives you everything that you need to be good. He doesn't cause you or give you the strength to do good. He changes you. He transforms you so that you can be good. And that makes all the difference. And that is what this book is about.
You feel if more people and the general public had that attitude that we would be in a better place?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when the Channel 7 tragedies happened, you know, that was on a Wednesday. And we have a Wednesday morning service at 10, a Wednesday night service at 6:30. And as soon as I found out, I sent a phone tree message out to all of our members. And just instinctively and traditionally in that comfort zone, I said, everybody come to the church and we're going to pray, you know, for all these victims. And then it just dawned on me, you know, Tom, you just wrote a book about getting out of the church. So I canceled that, and our church went out to Channel 7. We surrounded those people. We were out there for days, and I think we made a lot of difference. And it was so unusual. CNN ended up interviewing me. All the local radio, they were just amazed that all these people were coming out. And I tried to get other pastors and other churches involved, but they were in that same sort of mindset I was. You know, we got service tonight at our church. You know, we're really not going to go out.
Talk about getting Jonathan Falwell to write a foreword for the book. And you were saying that, as far as you know, there's very few forewords that Pastor Falwell has written.
Yeah, I used to pastor Airlie Court Baptist Church on the corner of Delray and Williamson, and I was there for 5 years, left the church, started a church, and a couple years later, Jonathan Falwell and Thomas Road took that church over and changed it. It's now Crossroads Church, and so I had a connection with him. I met him at a conference years ago, and I shook his hand. He signed, you know, one of his books, and I told him the connection. You know, I used to pastor that church that you just took over, and he said, well, you know, listen, give me a call. I'd love to get with you and talk to you about that. So I told my wife, what a great opportunity. So I emailed him right away. A year later, didn't hear anything. Emailed him again, called his secretary. A year later, still didn't hear anything. So I gave up. Out of the blue, right after I wrote this book, I get a call from him. It hadn't gone to the publisher yet, still in manuscript form. And his secretary said, he wants to meet with you. Sorry, it's been so long. It's just been very busy. Do you still want to meet? So I drove out there, and I've got my manuscript in my hand, and I'm thinking, you know, now I've got a really reason to sit down. You know, he's a senior pastor, one of the largest churches in America. He's only written the foreword to like three other books. I'm sitting in his office, have my manuscript in my hand. He doesn't even know it's in my hand. I presented him with a picture from our church, and I almost gave up, and you know, I was just overwhelmed, you know, with who he was. You know, I got sort of scared and gun shy, and I decided I'm not going to ask him at all. And then just sort of it came out, would you write the foreword to my book? And he was the most gracious that he could have been. He said, send me your manuscript. I'll take a look at it. And usually a foreword's 200 to 400 words. He wrote like 2.5 pages of a foreword. He was really impressed with the book. He's excited about it. In fact, he ends his foreword with, you know, he challenges every reader to buy this book, read it, and allow it to change your life. People know Jonathan Falwell. They don't really know Tom McCracken. So that was an exciting opportunity.
All right, let's talk about the school board a little bit. Where do you see where your Christian beliefs would intersect with school board decisions? I know there was I wanted to bring this up. There was a letter in the Roanoke Times that was comparing you to Al Bedrosian,
right,
on the board.
Right.
And Al, who I know, Al, has very strong Christian beliefs. But
he does.
Where does your school board beliefs intersect with school board decisions? And do you see any potential for conflict there?
Absolutely not. You know, I think a statement got me years ago, and it came out in one of my sermons, and it's something of, you know, we need to stop telling people what we're against and start living out who we are for. I think this world is you know, that's their view of Christianity, that we're sitting on the sidelines, standing on the sidelines, shouting and screaming, you know, we don't like you, we don't like what you're doing, that sin. You know, that is not Christianity. Christianity is living out who we are for, loving them to Christ, and not shouting what we're against. So, you know, for me being on the school board, it's a great opportunity to platform that ideal. You know, I want to show folks they made the right decision, that my faith is not going to be, you know, this Bible thumping, I'm going to hit you over the head with a King James Bible and scream about all these hot topic issues that, you know, you're getting wrong in this culture. My job's just going to be to use my faith to guide me in those decisions.